In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus is Lord, and he is Lord of all things. And that has some incredible practical application, like many simple truths. May the Lord bless the speaking and hearing of his word this morning. The gospel reading is the basis for our sermon today, and it's the account of Jesus healing a man born blind. You only heard seven verses of it. It's in John chapter 9, but all of chapter 9 is the account of Jesus healing the man born blind. It's fascinating, the whole thing. When you have time, read John chapter 9. There's a lot going on there. Jesus is walking by, and he sees a blind man. And the man had been blind from birth. The man does not ask to be healed. The man does not ask Jesus of anything. Jesus just passing by. It's actually the disciples who begin the encounter. And they ask Jesus, when they see this blind man, they ask him, "Who sinned? Who sinned, Jesus, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, you know, that sounds like kind of a primitive question, maybe not very polite, but, you know, when a child is born with some kind of handicap or birth defect, you know, people wonder, you know, why did this happen? You know, was mom on drugs when she was pregnant? Did dad do something he shouldn't have done? When a child is born with some kind of issue, parents wonder, people wonder, you know, who's to blame? What's the reason? There has to be an explanation. And you have to give the disciples a little bit of credit. Instead of just gossiping or making up a story in their heads, they ask someone who could actually answer. They ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus gives an answer they never would have expected. Jesus said it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. This man was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We don't know how old he was. He was a man. He was an adult. And up to this point in his life, God is saying that all this is happening so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. And of course, you know, the disciples don't know what's going to happen, but Jesus does. God has the power to work his will and his good purpose in the midst of hardships and difficulties and challenges and impossible limitations. God can do that. You name it, and God can work in the midst of it and through it, because Jesus is Lord. Most of the time, Jesus did not heal people. Most of the time. There were a few people that he healed, but most people he did not heal. For every person that he healed, there were many people that he simply passed by and did not heal. And I don't tell you that to discourage you from asking for healing. You should ask. If you're struggling with something, ask for healing. Ask for his help. And go big. Go big. You have not because you ask not. But keep in mind that Jesus didn't heal everybody. So when Jesus doesn't give you the healing you're looking for, don't take it personally. But know that God is working in the midst of all of that. God is working in the midst of all circumstances. The Apostle Paul had some kind of thorn in the flesh that hindered his life as an apostle, as a Christian. We don't know exactly what that was. Was it some kind of mental challenge, some kind of physical difficulty? We don't know. He asked God to take it away. God said no. God said no. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And so that can help us when we feel compelled to pursue miracles. And sometimes, you know, people get caught up in that. And there are churches that claim to have healing services. We have healing services every divine service. We forgive sins, and that's the healing that we need. But there are churches who will claim to offer you physical healing. There are so-called faith healers, and there are people who will go to them seeking to be physically healed. Many, if not most of them, come away disappointed. And they are often told that they weren't healed because they didn't have enough faith. And that puts a person in a terrible predicament, because that makes it your fault. If you're not healed, you feel, well, I guess I didn't have enough faith, that's why I didn't get healed. The Bible clearly teaches that God has the power to heal people, and he can do it in miracles, or he can do that through medical professionals. But the Word of God also reveals that God often calls people to endure hardships and difficulties and even loss in order that the works of God might be displayed. All things are subject to God's greater purposes because Jesus is Lord. And for reasons known to God and to God only, he will sometimes allow difficulties to remain. And he brings healing where and when he wills. So back to the blind man. The blind man, he would have been as a child, he would have been considered a special needs child. Would have been very difficult for his parents. And any parent who has had a special needs child, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and most people don't realize what's all involved in that. Jesus encounters this man who was born blind, and without the man's asking for help, Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud out of the spittle, and then he rubs it on the man's eyes. And then he tells the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man does it. So the man has faith. You know, it makes no sense, because mud is not a medicine used to heal blind people. But the blind man, I guess he has nothing to lose. He goes and he washes. And keep in mind, he has not seen Jesus. He's only heard his voice. He's not seen Jesus at this point. He goes, he washes, he comes back seeing. But that's not the end of his suffering. In fact, it created some. Some religious people, they start asking questions. You know, who did this? And how did it happen? And the man tells them, you know, this man made mud, put it in my eyes. I went and I did what he said. And they're like, he made mud? Well, the day when this happened was the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And evidently making mud was considered work, and you weren't supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And so the religious leader's like, well, this can't be of God, because whoever did this, he's not following the rules. No mud making on Sabbath day. You know, this can't be of God. And the man who was formerly blind, he says to the religious leaders, you know, he says, we know, you know, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where this man comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's what the man said to the religious leaders, and they did not want to hear it. They said, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. The religious people thought the man was cursed when he was blind, and now they still consider him cursed because he has faith in Jesus. And they didn't want to hear it. Their religion and their rules forced them to not believe in Jesus. As the saying goes, you know, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. They didn't want to believe that Jesus did a miracle. Religious people want to be right. And sometimes religious people would rather be right than to know the truth. Jesus finds this man after he had been kicked out by the religious leaders. And he says to the man who was formerly blind, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." It is possible, and it happens, that religion can keep us from seeing Jesus because we want to be right. And it's possible that, you know, you can have a religious discussion. You can be involved in your religion. You can go to board meetings. You can have all sorts of gatherings. You can talk about religion and never talk about Jesus. It happens all the time that we leave Jesus out. Jesus comes to do what religion can never do. He comes to save us. And why does he save us? He saves us because we are sinners who need a Savior. And what does that mean? It means admitting that we're sinners. Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to be good. I don't want to admit I'm a sinner. But wait a minute. Jesus comes for sinners. And in fact, Jesus forgives sinners. And he forgives sinners because he is a God who forgives. Not based on our performance, but based on his grace and his mercy. He comes to set prisoners free and to open the eyes of the blind and to open our eyes to, yes, even to see our own sin, that we would confess it, repent of it, and believe that in Jesus we are forgiven. It's possible that we can be blind to the very thing we're hoping to see. We can use religion to make a bunch of rules and make it legalistic, and we try to control other people. Or we say, "Yeah, I believe in God." And then we go about worry and fret, and we have anxiety like we're in charge, and we're not. Or we say, "Yeah, I believe God loves people," and yet we carry around guilt and shame like we are not loved, or that we are not sinful. Jesus comes with his word to open our eyes, to open our ears, to the good news of who he is and what he's done for us. And then that actually opens up our lives to purpose and direction by his power and by his word, that we would walk in his light. Lord, continue to open our eyes, open our ears, and give us hearts to believe, tongues to confess, and grant us the assurance of your truth which never fails. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.